Well, Merry Christmas en geseënde Kersfees en Feliz Navidad. Joyeux Noël en Bon Natale. En de Korean one, Merry Christmas. I can see you now. This is the Luke's account of the Christmas story. And my wish always, every year, is that Christmas wouldn't end at the end of Christmas Day. Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Alan. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for what happened 2,000 years ago. We thank you for those shepherds who went and found things just as they had been told. I pray that today you would meet with us here and we would find things just as you have told us. May your presence, Lord, be amongst us, and may we hear your voice clearly ringing in our hearts and in our minds this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. According to UNICEF, every day around the world, 353,000 babies are born. That's a lot. Let's bring it down. Let's shrink it down a little bit. From 353,000 per day, let's bring it down to 1 minute. 255 babies born every minute. Now, if you can do the math, you take 255 per minute, divide by 60 per second, 4.3. I feel sorry for the 0.3 baby, but I'm sure his or her parents would love it, right? But think about it. 4.3, 8.6, 12.9, just like that. You know what's wonderful is each and every baby that's born is special to their parents, to their grandparents, to their uncles and aunts. Every one of these babies is unique and carries the weight of the expectation of the whole family. The hopes and dreams. Every baby that's born is born with hope. Hope that this baby will grow into someone that will be great and that will be lovely and that will be special and that will be a benefit to his or her family and to those people around him or her. But some babies are special not just to their own family, but to the nation, or even to the whole world. Moses was such a baby, special to his nation. Moses would be the deliverer of Israel, deliver them from the bondage in Egypt. And what's interesting about that, as you think about it, is that Moses was only 80 years old when he led his people out of Egypt. So people had to wait for 80 years until this baby that was born could actually be the deliverer that they were waiting for. Doesn't work well in our microwave instant society. You got to wait 80 years? Are you kidding me? This is the answer, and we have to wait 80 years until this answer has grown up and has gained the expertise necessary to lead us? Jesus was a special baby, not just for his parents or his family or just for his nation, but for the whole world. Because when this baby is born, he impacts everyone. The angels appear to the shepherds on that night, and the angels say, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Good news in the Greek, euangelion. We know that is the word for gospel. This is the gospel. The good news. A baby is born. This baby is the answer. The answer to all the problems in the world. The world is struggling. We all know that. We all know that there's something very wrong in this world. Even if you can't put your finger on it. Even if people are telling you that everything is all right, we know everything is not all right. It's like a splinter in your brain, a nagging feeling. That's what Morpheus told Neo in The Matrix. You know it, you feel it, but you can't identify it specifically. We all know that this world has deep-seated problems, but we can't put our finger on it. People have tried to identify it, because once you identify it, you can try and solve it. And they said maybe the answer to the world is better government. That's what we need. We need a government that will do the things that we want them to do, because they always seem to not do the things that we think they should be doing. Other people have said the answer is less government. The more they stay out of my affairs, the better. Some people have said it's not better government, it is better knowledge. We need to know more. We need our professors to know more so that they could teach us. Other people have said, no, it's not the professors or the elites that need to know more, it's the average person that needs to know more. We need to grow in our knowledge and our understanding. And as we do so, we will solve all these problems. Well, as you know, we've been growing more and knowing more and learning more for thousands of years, but we haven't seemed to solve the problems in this world. When it comes down to it, it's not just your knowledge. It's not just the government, but some people have said it's what the real problem is, there should be better sharing. People who have and people who have not should share so that everyone could have. Income inequality is one of the biggest problems that we have in this world. Well, communism have tried, seem to have failed, trying to get that done. It seems to me that all these efforts at identifying the problem in the world and all these efforts at solving that has just come to naught. G.K. Chesterton, one of the great thinkers, wrote a book in 1910, What is Wrong with This World? He was part of an effort by the Times. When the Times wrote, they wrote a letter to lots of authors and they asked them each the same question. What is wrong with this world? G.K. Chesterton was part of that group. When he got the letter from the Times, he replied very quickly, "Dear Sir, I am." And he signed it, G.K. Chesterton. See, the problems in the world is not out there, it's in here. Each of us, the human heart, is a heart that is full of sin. And as a heart that is cold as stone. That is the real problem in this world. When that is dealt with, when that heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh, when that sinful nature is cast aside, and when the nature of Christ is accepted and embraced, a nature of love, everything changes. That's the good news of this baby that was born 2,000 years ago. I want to submit to you that this identified the problem in the world correctly as being sin. And this baby would take care of the sin in this world. And this baby would change our hearts of stone and make us give us hearts of flesh. Now, this baby would not only deal with personal sin, but would also deal with universal cosmic issues. Because if our hearts are changed and if we have more love for each other, yes, we will have shalom, we will have peace amongst each other. But that doesn't solve the other problems that we have, like climate change, or earthquakes or droughts or tsunamis or any other of those disasters. There needs to be a structural solution. Now this baby is the one that will bring that about. In Romans we read this. Paul writes, he says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." You see, we need a solution, not just for our personal issues or our personal sin, but we need a solution for the structural issues in the whole creation, cosmos, universe that we find ourselves in. And who has a solution for a problem that big, if not our God who created everything? You see, it is at the second coming. This baby, this child who came 2,000 years ago, born in Bethlehem, will come again. He came as a baby the first time. The second time, he will come as a king. That is when he will restore all things. All things will be made new. In Revelation, John writes this. He says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also, he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" This is good news for a world that is sinking in its problems. Not only is it good news, but it's news with great joy. Joy is not the same as happiness. Joy is much stronger, much deeper, much more permanent than happiness. You know, my children give me joy. Sometimes they give me happiness. Sometimes they don't. When I go to the dentist, it's one of the places I hate to go. Because you know when they start those drills, and it goes zing, and you just know this is going to hurt so much. When I go to the dentist, and my mouth is checked, and I hear those words, everything seems all right. We don't need to do anything today. It brings me great happiness. It really does. But it's only going to last for a day. Tomorrow I've forgotten about the dentist. I'm on to something else. Happiness is kind of fleeting. But joy. Joy is deep. And strong. And permanent. And that gives you hope. Gives you strength. Great joy is the message from the angel. You see, they could have joy because this baby is the answer to all the problems. Not just surface problems like a scraped knee, but all problems, even at the deepest level. As we sit here today, the law of averages says that the probability is great that as each one of us have a whole list of problems that we have to deal with in our lives. This could be health issues. This could be relational issues. It could be financial issues. But we have problems that we need to deal with. But oftentimes, the answer to our problems is not as it seems. The answer is not on the surface, but much deeper than that. The question that comes up is, how could these shepherds know that this will truly happen. This great joy that is promised, how could they know that this great joy will become reality? When Moses was born, they had to wait 80 years before they saw anything happen. It was a long time, and they had to wait by faith. The angel gave three signs. The first one is Zechariah was struck with dumbness. He could not speak until his son John was born. That dumbness of Zechariah was a sign to his wife Elizabeth that she will become pregnant. Elizabeth may have been in her 70s. There was no way she could even think or conceive about herself becoming pregnant when she saw the sign. Some faith started to bubble up in her heart. The second sign was that Elizabeth became pregnant in her senior years. This was a sign not for Elizabeth, but for Mary. When Mary received the promise from the angel, she went to visit Elizabeth. She saw Elizabeth being 6 months pregnant at her age, and Mary said, "If this could happen to Elizabeth, this can happen to me." The third sign is the one to the shepherds who would find this baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. The sign that this baby will be the salvation that they were waiting for. Three signs given by the angels, messengers from the unseen world. Signs given to explain what will happen in the unseen world. You see, all these problems will be solved. These structural issues in all of creation will be put right in the unseen world before it happens, before we see it in the seen world. These signs are given as confirmation in this world. The real signs in the seen world point to future realities in the unseen world. Once this baby is born, a process is set in motion that cannot be stopped. The wheels of salvation have started to turn, and they cannot be halted until it is accomplished. That is the great joy. For all people. Not just the rich. Not just the influential. Not just the lucky people. Maybe you've met people like that. They're always lucky. They always win a prize draw. They always get a good deal. Maybe you've met people like that. And you think, wow, they're always lucky. Things always happen to them. They always have good things happen to them. I wish I was like that. This is for all people. In Galatians 3:28, Paul writes this. He says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." This baby is bringing salvation not just for one race or another race or another race, but for all races, for all economic standings, whether you are slave or free, and gender equality, whether you are male or female. Total inclusivity, whether it's by race, whether it's economic, or whether it's by gender, it's all there. This is for all people. Do not be afraid. Good news. Great joy. All people. Good news for us. Great joy for us. All of us. The promised salvation that the whole world had been waiting for began with the birth of a baby boy and was completed when that grown boy hung on the cross and cried out, "It is finished." The will of God had been done on earth as it is in heaven, and it cannot be undone. Good news. Great joy, all people. Let us pray. Father God, it is with humble hearts that we come before you. It is with thankful hearts that we come before you. This great plan of salvation that you brought into our world 2,000 years ago with the birth of this baby boy. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Lord. Jesus, who is one of us, but Jesus, who has brought reconciliation between us and you. There's nothing we can say, Lord, that will be adequate thanks for what you have done. But I pray this morning that as we consider what happened that day when that child was born 2,000 years ago, pray that you would fill us with a sense of wonder and awe and of gratitude for the grace and the mercy that you have shown to all of us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.